Welcome to All Things Business for Physicians, where I chat with marketers, accountants, physicians, and consultants to talk about everything like social media, office culture, running your medical practice, and how to align marketing and operations. If you're looking to grow your practice, get access to our patient acquisition and retention framework at hip.agency. Now, shout out to today's featured guest, Jared Whitkey. Jared is co-owner of Comfort and Mobility. He actually bought this business about 10 months ago after being CFO at a hospital, and we were able to help him transition into becoming a business owner smoothly by getting a website up and putting a marketing strategy in place. So Jared, are you ready to share your story and talk today about going from employee to business owner?
Yeah, sometimes it's been fun, sometimes it's been difficult, but yeah, my wife and I, we did this knowing full well that it would take some time, but it's been a fun process for us.
Yeah, for sure. Take a moment to introduce yourself and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
All right. Yeah, my name's Jared Whitkey. I'm the co-owner with my wife, Jenna, of Comfort and Mobility. The business has been in business since 1999. We took over in April of 2017, and for about 10 years before that, I was in healthcare administration, working for two different companies, one called Health Management Associates, and the next one was called Community Health Systems. And it was mainly, I was a CFO of small hospitals, and just wanted to own my own business one day, and the opportunity afforded itself, and so that's where we're at now.
Awesome. So tell us what Comfort and Mobility is, and what is DME?
Sure, yeah. Comfort and Mobility is, just like you mentioned, Luke, it's a DME company, and DME stands for Durable Medical Equipment. So with that, a durable medical equipment can be anything from respiratory equipment like sleep apnea equipment or sleep therapy equipment, all the way to power wheelchairs and mobility equipment, which is what we focus on. We've got kind of a niche market for mobility products like canes and crutches and walkers, rollators, all the way up to your high-end complex rehab wheelchairs that certain people need for their daily life. And so we try to focus in that area. We could sell a lot of the other stuff, but we've got a niche there in the power wheelchair market, so we kind of stick to that.
Awesome. Let's talk about your area of expertise. What do you feel like you bring to your business?
That's a great question. So with being a CFO formerly in my prior history, that's one thing I think I bring to the business, you know, as far as the cost-cutting strategies and cost savings things that I can do, and also in the bookkeeping, I'm able to save a lot of money that you'd have to spend on a CPA or an accountant. Yeah. Obviously, you still have to have one, but I'm able to save a lot of money in our business that way because I have that prior knowledge.
Yeah, that's awesome. That helps a lot. A good accountant is
it's very important.
What made you want to go from CFO to a small business owner?
My wife and I have always been talking about becoming business owners ever since, really, since we got married. And, being a business owner, the sky is really the limit. And what I mean by that is however much you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. And working for a company, I had no problems working for the company I was working with. Everything was going well. I liked being a CFO. It's just, I was never going to be able to fulfill my dream of being a business owner, number one. But number two, you're limited in what you can do. With your own business, you set the rules and you can make or lose however much money and work you put into it. So it's a hard obstacle to overcome for a lot of people, knowing that, when your next paycheck is going to come in. But you also have the gratification of doing really well, too.
Yeah. So. Yeah, if you're driven, it can be rewarding.
Yeah.
How did you land on Comfort and Mobility in your search?
Yeah, so, us wanting to be business owners, we wanted to stay in healthcare, obviously, and durable medical equipment is obviously, it's healthcare related, and so knowing Medicare coding and stuff like that, that was pretty simple for me to really understand that on the durable medical equipment side. So it was actually a long process, though, of getting to that point. I was on several business broker websites beforehand for about a year, always looking for the next business opportunity, and this one popped up, and I really wasn't that serious about it, to be honest with you, at first, but over time the owner actually dropped the price in half, and
wow.
So that's when we got really, really interested. And even with that, I think I've met with the owner 3 or 4 times, with the business broker, really trying to feel, get an idea for the business and the growth opportunities, because I wouldn't have done it, obviously, if I didn't feel like the business was financially feasible, number one, and number two, had the ability to grow.
Yeah. What are some of the steps that you need to take? Like, talk about, you know, getting a broker and, you know, some of the realities of the process.
Oh, yeah. That was in some ways eye-opening to me as well, because, you know, the broker is there not necessarily for the buyer's benefit, but for the seller's benefit usually. So he's trying to sell the business for the owner. But he's also there to, I guess, help you answer any questions that you might have about the future, number one, and number two, about the current operations. So he was able to do that for me, and getting to know the former owner's CPA as well, who I retained as my CPA, was very beneficial also, because if you're going to take a risk and jumping out on your own into a business, you really want to know the financials of the company. Some people struggle with that. Thankfully, I've been able to understand that pretty well, but you know, in a lot of cases, people can't understand that realm. And so relying on somebody else to tell you that information, you really got to trust them and what they're saying. And thankfully for me, I was able to understand exactly what the CPA was telling me and kind of where they came from and where we are now.
Yeah. What are some things you didn't plan for? What surprised you in becoming a business owner?
That's a great question. So as a CFO, you know, I had to manage our cash flow at the hospital level, but there was always what I call our big brother, the parent company that could help funnel cash to us if we needed it, you know, to make payroll or whatever. Well, when you own your own business, you know, you're always worried about that next customer coming in so you can meet your demands of whether paying invoices or, you know, paying payroll and little things like that turn out to be big things if you don't have any money in your bank account. So with us, we're heavily reliant upon Medicare, and you know, I had a small business loan to carry me for the first few months, but as time went on, that loan obviously decreases and you got to get your own money coming in. And so that to me was a big surprise. I knew how to manage cash flow, but it's on a higher level at a smaller business because you're the only one there. You know, you can't rely on big brother to funnel cash to you if you need it.
Right. Yeah, that's scary.
It is, and to this day, I still worry about where the next customer is going to come from.
Yeah. How did you break free from the employee mindset? So talk about, you know, scheduling, vacation, having a boss. You know, nobody's telling you to do things anymore.
It's a process every day, really, because you know, when I worked at the hospital, there's nothing against this. I'm like you mentioned, being driven, I really wanted to make the hospital the best hospital around in terms of financial feasibility, profitability, and stuff like that. And so I worked hard, but I always felt like I was letting the company down if I wasn't there as much as possible. But if you do that, then you're leaving your family out. So being a business owner, I'm able to mix those very well. I'm able to, if I need to, take time away and spend time with my family. But I also know that if I'm not spending time at the office, then I'm letting the company down and what we could be doing. I could be out trying to draw in new business or you know, paying invoices, whatever it might be for that day. So it's a continual struggle, though. And I don't think I've mastered it yet, because there's some days where you know, I may take a couple hours to go do something where I should have been doing something else for that 2 hours. I really should have been. So it's important, though, because managing your time is, as a business owner, for sure, to me, is more important than even working for a boss, because he knows exactly what you're doing. If you don't do it, then you'll be fired.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as if for a business owner, nobody's going to fire you.
Yeah.
The business is relying on what you do every day. So
yeah, the business will just suffer.
Oh, yeah. Drastically.
Yep. So take us to your worst moment as a business owner.
My worst moment, probably, like I mentioned earlier about the, you know, when the loan runs out, it's, you know, where's that next customer coming from? That's been a low moment for me, but the cash flows were coming in, everything was fine. It was just anxiety and fear of, you know, am I going to be able to do this? And, you know, I've overcome that. Now we're on a good financial footing to where everything's working out. Actually, even maybe a little bit faster than I thought it was going to. I knew it would be a process over the first year, but now that we're 6-7 months into it, it's really working out well.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's everything too, is if you're constantly worrying, I feel like that worry affects the business, and people can sense that.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're able to take a deep breath and know that your business is where it needs to be or ahead of where it needs to be, obviously there's always things to work on. But if you have that cash flow, you're able to radiate, you know, a positive attitude, and that affects your customers as well as your employees.
Sure. Oh, so, yeah, definitely.
And what are some of the lessons that you've learned from that and learned from those mistakes?
Well, the biggest thing I can say for that is, you know, failure can be good and bad. And I try to see the good part about failure. And, you know, a lot of times we may try to get customers, whether we're visiting people's homes or if we go to doctor's offices and we don't get any referrals from them. But that can be a good thing because at least we know now where to focus our time. And I try to just learn from our mistakes. You know, one of the worst things you can do is try to continue to do things that you failed at, and try to make them different or better. I usually just put those aside and try to focus on something else or a new area where I haven't, you know, delved into yet. We do that a lot in different areas, whether that's, you know, focusing on one town or city more so than others, or focusing on one specific doctor or one specific diagnosis, for example, whether it's neurologically related or just primary care doctors. So, you know, we try to focus on things that are really going to grow our business versus things that are just, you know, kind of a waste of time.
Right. I don't think we'll ever be perfect at that. You're always going to have to do things where maybe you're not the best person to do it, but knowing where you really add value in your company and being able to focus on that.
Sure.
I mean, it's just high impact, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Was learning to delegate difficult?
I struggle with delegating even now to this day. Even as a CFO, you know, I had to rely on department managers and things like that and sending them things to send back to me because our corporate office always asked for a lot of information from me. So that was always a struggle for me. I always liked to have my hands in everything, knowing that, you know, I trust myself, and sometimes I don't trust people enough to help me. And that's always a struggle. And in this business, one good thing about the business that we bought, that the employees were there and they were very knowledgeable in the business. Some of them have been there since the business opened and some have been there for 13 or 14 years. And they really know the business very well. They know the ins and outs of it, but they didn't really have anybody to grow it. And so that's where my wife and I came in and were able to grow it. But you still struggle sometimes, you know, if you want something to get done, you know, it's really trusting your employees to do what they've, you know, getting paid to do. And I always tell myself, you know, if I could do their job, I don't need them. So that's why delegation is a big key, because it is a team and no one can do it all by themselves.
Obviously, there's so many hours in a day and things have to get done. So delegation is huge.
It is. And it's still, like I said, it's still a struggle for me, but I'm working at it.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. So we're at the end. Let's speed things up. What's the best advice you've ever been given?
Best advice, probably service above self. And I struggle with that too. You know, I'm everybody's selfish in certain areas. But trying to serve my employees so that they can serve the customers is a big key. And it's always going to be in the background for me. And I've been told that I do that well, but there's some days where I don't do that very well.
What's the worst part of your job and how do you overcome it?
The worst part of my job is knowing when that next customer is going to show up. Because, you know, if you don't get those next customers, you know, you can't continue to operate your business. So, thankfully we've been working with Hip Creative to help us with that a lot. And it's really been beneficial to us, obviously. But, you know, it's knowing where that's coming from and how to get that customer. You know, it's once you get that customer, it's also retaining them after you sell them something.
Yep. Lifetime value.
Right.
What's a personal habit that contributes to your success?
I don't know if it's a habit or if it's just I pray a lot. I ask the Lord to help us in any way. You know, and I'm real specific in my prayers. You know, I don't say just, you know, help us grow the business. I try to put goals in there and say, hey, help us to hit this goal or whatever, and show me what I can do better to try to reach that goal. If it's, you know, helping one of our employees get their job done faster, or if I should be, you know, in Panama City this week or in Fort Walton Beach or in Gulf Breeze, wherever it is, so he can tell me what I need to do. And that's been huge for me. And our business has really grown through the help of a lot of people, but more than anything, the Lord has really blessed our family to be able to do this, number one, but number two, to be able to grow it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I read the other day that the owner, you know, Mr. Hilton himself, before business deals, would circle buildings and pray over the deal before he would go in the board meeting. And some of the most successful billionaires and business owners start by prayer. And that's pretty awesome. So can you share an internet resource that helps you?
Outside of Google and the normal search engines and stuff like that, where I go to for a lot of stuff, we have in the DME business, Medicare pays you through a fiscal intermediary, and you know, Medicare doesn't pay their own bills. They farm it out to other companies. And so ours is a company called CGS, and they've got a website where we go to for almost every day to check insurance information, to get reimbursement rates for codes that we have through Medicare. That's a big resource for us, because everything you'd ever need to know about how much you're going to get paid or the authorization process is right there at that website. So it's very helpful to us.
So if somebody's in your business, that site would help them a lot.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Awesome. Share one book that you would recommend and why.
For me, really, it's I've read a lot of books, but the most important book is the Bible, really, because it's amazing to me that you know, cultures change and people change, but God's word doesn't ever change. You know, it's good yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And even if you want financial advice, there's a lot of good financial advice in the Bible. So that's the big one. But other books, obviously, I read some leadership stuff quite a bit, and I read a lot of sports figures and how they've overcome obstacles in their life. I'm a big sports fan, and you know, Michael Jordan is my favorite athlete of all time, and he even overcame a lot. Mm-hmm. But how driven these people are to get to their ultimate goal, you know, and it's not one necessarily specific book, but I like to read about them and things that they've done, and it's amazing how competitive they are. You know, people sometimes frown at that word. You know, you're trying to beat everybody else. Well, if you don't have something inside you that you're driven to compete, you're really not gonna grow as an individual. And competition can be a great thing. You know, we always worry in our business that the next competitor is gonna come in there and steal business. Well, that makes us better. You know, having more competition actually makes you better. And that's what's great about our country is, you know, the capitalism that we have in America. Anybody can come in and set up shop right next to you if they really wanted to. And it's how you respond to that and how you can compete to win more business.
Sure. Response and refinement is everything.
Sure.
So that's awesome. And it's funny, you were actually a quarterback, right, in college?
I was, yeah. I was a walk-on quarterback at Florida State.
So. Awesome. I'm not a Florida State fan, but I feel like everybody was at one point in time, you know, and so at one point in time, I was a Florida State fan and a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Hey,
right?
Two good teams.
Yep. So let's end this thing by you telling listeners how they can get in touch with you if they have questions.
Sure, yeah. Well, they can call our office at 850-934-5217, or you can actually call my cell phone at 850-207-3236. And if you go on our website, we have actually, Luke, you guys helped us set up a website submission request where people can ask questions about what we offer. And if you just go to our website and there's a submit a question there for us about a product, or if you just want to know more about our business, you can do that right there. Besides the website, you can come to our location. We're at 3082 Gulf Breeze Parkway in Gulf Breeze, right along Highway 98. And we feel like that's a pretty good location. We're able to serve the Escambia, Santa Rosa, Okaloosa County, and we go all the way to Tallahassee also. So if people are listening from Tallahassee all the way to Pensacola, we service that entire area.
Give us some final words. What's the best advice you can tell our listeners who aren't sure if they should make the leap from an employee to a business owner?
Well, it's always a risk to do that, to know, you know, you're getting paid a certain amount of money now, and you don't know what you're going to do as a business owner. I would say to encourage them is to take risks, but take calculated risks. And what I mean by that is, you know, anybody can go out and start their own business, but the business is only going to grow and be profitable if you've taken the steps necessary to make it that way. And those are the calculations that you make ahead of time to ensure that your business does succeed. So, you know, if my wife and I hadn't have started this business and done the calculations ahead of time, you know, we wouldn't be where we are today. So, we're enjoying the process right now, but it's still, sometimes difficult, but, risks are where, good things happen, you know.
Yep.
If you don't step out and try new things, you're never going to grow as a person either. So
yeah, that goes back to that somewhat cheesy line, but it's true. The greater the risk, the greater the reward.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Maybe that's not always true, but I feel like, you know, it's something good to kind of base that on, is you've got to take risk, and if you can calculate it beforehand, even better, because then it's planned.
Sure, yeah.
So thanks so much, man, for coming on. I hope this helps people who, you know, may be wondering if they should take the leap to business owner, and hopefully this will help either push them into a business owner or know they're not cut out for it and to stay employed.
Well, I hope so. Thanks for having me, Luke. And like I said, we really appreciate all the stuff you've done for us so far, and we're just excited for what's going to happen in the future.
Okay, listeners, I hope this helped. We'd love to know what you thought about today's podcast, so shoot me an email at luke@hipcreativeinc.com and let me know things you are implementing from today's episode. Also, if you have any ideas on topics or just ideas for the podcast in general, let me know. To learn more about Hip Creative, head over to hip.agency. Thank you so much.